It's a little difficult for me to give a Mother's Day message, even though I have a great wife who's been a great mother for many years, and I had a great mother myself. But there's something about a Father's Day message that makes that just a little bit easier for me, maybe because I am a father. So, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We're going to preach about dads here today. Here's a little Father's Day history. Father's Day in the United States is on the third Sunday in June, which means it can be any time between June 15th and June 21st. And by the way, today's first day of summer too, isn't it? Yes, it is. Its intent is to celebrate the contribution that fathers and father figures make for their children's lives. It is believed that a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd was an influential figure in establishing this event called Father's Day. In the late 1800s, her father raised six children by himself after the death of their mother. And this was rather uncommon at that time, as many widowers placed their children in the care of others, or they quickly married again. Sonora was inspired by the work of Anna Jarvis, who had pushed for Mother's Day celebrations. Sonora felt that her father deserved recognition for what he had done. So the first time Father's Day was held in June was in 1910. And Father's Day was officially recognized as a holiday in, does anybody know the year? 1972, by President Nixon. One little boy said this about Father's Day: "Well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much." Another youngster said this: "A father is someone who carries pitchers where his money used to be." And 25 years ago, 1990, phone company statistics tell us that the number of calls on Father's Day were not near as high as the number of calls on Mother's Day. And most of them were collect. So today is Father's Day. I know what it's like to have a very good father, and I know what it's like to be a father myself. And I know that the term father conjures up all kinds of memories in each and every one of us. And some of those memories might be a little bit better than others, and I understand that. But I believe a real father needs to be a real role model. And a real father needs to be a real good, positive role model. Fathers, we're never going to be perfect, are we? Never. But this world needs more fathers who are genuine, positive role models. Why? Because our sons and our daughters, they're watching us and they're learning from us. So here's the question, dads. Dads, do we want our children to be just like us? So today's message is for you dads and fathers and people like me. So let's go to the scripture reading I have here for today. And I'm going to go to 1 Kings. You can stay seated. I'm going to read a couple scriptures out of Kings. 1 Kings. And you'll see the comparison that I'm going to read here. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 41 through 44. God's word says this: "Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. In everything, he walked in the ways of his father, Asa, and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. Jehoshaphat was also at peace with the king of Israel." Now let's move a couple verses here to the right, to verse 51, and let's read about another king. Starting with verse 51, First Kings 22. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and mother and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshiped Baal and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. Interesting. Two different stories about two different men, both of them kings. In the first story, we see Jehoshaphat. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and the Bible says that he walked in the ways of his father Asa. In the second story, we read about a king, Ahaziah, who did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, because he walked in the ways of his father, Ahab. Do we see a pattern developing here? Do we see some influence here? Do we see a role model here? Sometimes role models aren't always good role models. Indeed, I assure you, as most of you already know, sons and daughters watch their fathers. Certainly these two sons did. Well, will it always turn out this way, the way that it turned out with these two kings? I say this. If we want the best chance for our sons and daughters to become someone that we can be very, very proud of, we, dads, we must be men of God. And when we are men of God, we are going to be the best positive role models that we can possibly be. Listen to these statistics. When just a mom takes her child to church, that child has an 11% chance of going to church when that child is older and on their own. When just the father takes his child to church, that child has a 55% chance of going to church when they are on their own later on. When both parents take their child and children to church, those children have a 76% chance of going to church when they are older and on their own. Fathers, we have a very important role. We are extremely influential. So how can you and I be great role models, be positive role models? How can you and I be men of God? Here are 7 biblical commands to help us become men of God. If you look in your bulletin, there are 7 fill in the blanks. So what I'm going to do here first is I will read the scripture and then we will fill in the blank. The first one takes us back to where we were for our psalm reading early on. Psalm number 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And then we'll fill in the blank. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So the man of God, fill in the blank number 1, knows and loves the scriptures. Knows and loves the scriptures. Does that mean that we, dads, are going to know them, all of them, off by heart? Absolutely not. We'll never get to that point. But do we know the basics of what God's Word is teaching? Do we know John 3:16? Do we know that we have been saved by grace? Do we know where we can find some of these critical verses? Do we refer to God's Word in our normal conversation? do we know and love the Scriptures? Because God's Word says this, that a man of God does know and love the Scriptures and know and love His Word, this book that we have here before us. So that's the first one. So do we know what God's Word is saying? The second one takes us to 1 John chapter 3, which is in the back of our Bibles. And I'll read that scripture here to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 24 says this. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Our fill in the blank. The man of God obeys God's commands. Obeys God's commands. What do our children see, dads? Do they see us doing one thing and then but saying something else? You know, we've often heard the phrase, do as I say, not as I do. Sorry, folks, dads, that don't cut it. If you don't do it, our children aren't going to do it. We not only have to say it, we have to do it. Not only do we have to walk the walk, or talk the talk, we have to walk the walk also. We obey God's commands. How do we expect our children, our sons and daughters, to obey God's commands if we don't? A man of God knows the Scriptures, obeys God's commands. The next one, Psalm number 84, verse number 12. Psalm 84, verse 12, and then we'll fill in the blank. This one's pretty straightforward. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. Will the man of God trust in the Lord? We trust in the Lord. What else can we trust in? Hey, we could always trust in ourselves, can't we? We could trust in ourselves. Oh, don't worry, I'll get through it. You know, do our children see us trusting in the Lord? Oh, don't worry, son, don't worry, daughter. You know, we trust in the Lord. God will get us through this. Do our children hear us saying that? Or do we trust in horses or chariots or ourselves? What do our children hear us saying? Do they know that we love the Scriptures? Do they know that we obey God's commands? Do they know that we trust in the Lord? The fourth one from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Says this, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Our fill in the blank. A man of God is a man of prayer. How simple is that? Is a man of prayer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we don't have to take that literally and say that we have to raise our hands, although we can if we like. But the point I want to make is this. If we are going to be men of God, dads and fathers, we need to be men of prayer. I wonder how many of our lives have been changed as youngsters if we ever saw our moms and dads praying for us. Or if they even told us, I'm praying for you. Wouldn't that be a great thing for a dad to tell his child, hey son, hey, daughter, I'm praying for you. I got a better idea. Not only say that I'm praying for you. What was the challenge 2 weeks ago? Stop right where you're at and pray for your children. How good would that be if our children saw us praying? That they know that we love the Scriptures. That they knew that we obeyed God's commands. That they knew that we trusted in the Lord. That they knew that we were men of prayer. For the next three, I'm going to kind of change the topic a little bit. We're still on this quest of what does a man of God role model look like. But now we're going to get into relationships. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. And the next one comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19 says this, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, pretty straightforward. Our fill in the blank is this. A man of God is not harsh towards his wife. So how do we define harsh? Well, Webster defines harsh as this: having an unpleasant or harmful effect because of great strength or force, too intense or powerful. I certainly hope there is not a man in here who has ever laid a hand on his wife. And if you have, shame on you. And if you have, don't do it again. There's no place for that in the household, for a man to be harsh towards his wife. Because we're bigger and stronger doesn't mean that they're doormats and we're dominants. They are our wives, and we're not supposed to be harsh towards our wives. I don't know how easier I can say that. There are just some things, husbands, dads, that we don't do. And some of you, some of us, men and women, might have been in an environment where a dad did those things to his wife. There's no place in Christianity for that. We don't do that. We don't go there. Do we get angry? Certainly we do. There's always disagreements between husbands and wives. But we're never harsh towards them. Which leads me to the next one, which we get from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Very similar, but with a little different flavor to it. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. A man of God treats his wife with respect. It's that simple. Treats his wife with respect. How does Webster define respect? A feeling or understanding that someone or something is important or serious and should be treated in an appropriate way. Do we feel like dads, if we're dads, we probably have wives, that our spouse is important, that we take them seriously, and do we treat them accordingly in a very appropriate way? Respect. If you don't believe Webster's definition, then believe what Peter is saying here, that we need to treat our wives with respect. And if we don't believe what God's Word is saying, then we need to believe Aretha Franklin, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. What does it say after that? Who knows the song? Find out what it means to me. How true is that? Guys, you want to see change in your wives? Maybe we need to show them a little respect. Because I guarantee you, when we respect our spouses, our wives, just like Aretha says, find out what it means to me. I believe every woman in here, every wife in here can say this: I want my husband to respect me. And by golly, husbands, it's up to us. If we want our wives to change, guess who's got to change first? Us. We start respecting our wives, and we'll find out what that means to them. Respect. And then the last one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Everybody knows this one, so you know exactly what I'm going to say. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Fill in the blank. A man of God loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Well, what did Christ do for the church? The church was everything. The church was absolutely everything to him. What did he do for the church? He died for the church. If we want to be men of God, dads, if we want to be role models, not only to our wives, but to our children, And this goes for you father figures out there too. Would we give up our lives for our wives? Are they that important to us? Would we do that? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This person needs to be the most important person in your life. Do we treat them that way? Because as I said earlier, our children are going to watch this. They see this. And if we're going to be good dads and role models, they're going to want to be just like dad. So what do they see dad doing? Do they see them respecting their mother? Do they see them not being harsh to their mother? Do they see him loving their mother like Christ loved the church? Or do they see other things? Remember, dads, there's a very good chance our children are going to turn out just like us. Here's a poem that was written by a child for his father, and it says this: I'm thankful for a Christian dad, so caring, thoughtful, kind, whose loving hands and gentle voice I often call to mind. Your character is etched in mine, your greatest gift to me, and more than lectures you supplied, examples I could see. I've learned so many things from you that only dads can teach. You were my guide and gave to me such worthy goals to reach. God chose for me the best of dads, one of a very few, and that is why I ask of him to make me more like you. That boy certainly loved his dad. Men, dads, as your pastor, I want you to know this. I am on your side. Okay? I want to encourage you. And in any way that I can, I want all of us to become men of God. And I want to help you in any way that I can for you to be a man of God. And I want to see all of us rise spiritually to what God has called all of us to be as men and husbands and fathers. I read somewhere on the internet, you've probably seen it, anybody can be a father, but only certain men can be dads. Well, you might be saying, well, Mike, I'm too old, and it's too late. The damage has been done. Story time with Pastor Mike. And the story goes like this. Real quick, Gail and I married in 1976. She married me regardless of the drinking problem that I had. I drank a lot. 2 years later, our son was born. And he saw me throughout my drinking days, my unsaved days, as an unbeliever. Later on, when he was about 10 years old, I took my last alcoholic sip of a Budweiser at Rosa Cantina in downtown Stanton, Virginia, on November the 5th, 1988. Got saved shortly thereafter. And my son, who remembers more of this than what my daughter does, will often say, but that was the old dad. That was the old dad. You know, men, if you're saying right now, it's too late for me, no. There can always be an old dad. It's time to become the new dad. The new dad who wants to be a man of God. A new dad who wants to be a role model. Whose kids might be 30, 40, 50 years old, and we can still say, and they can still say, what's happened to dad? Man, something really good is going on in his life. It's never too late. It's never too late. Let me say it one more time. It's never too late. to start being a positive role model and a man of God. And it's never too late for our children, for them to be too old to learn from us. Dads, do we want our children to be just like us? Maybe you could be like my son, who says, that was the old dad. Because they really like the new dad a whole lot better. The one who is a man of God. The one who is a positive role model. The one who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God changed his life. Because he didn't like being the old himself either. It's never too late, guys, to be the dads and fathers that God has called us to be. Let's pray.